Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for validating us, for coming down and sending your Son when we didn't deserve it. We thank you for the grace and the mercy that you give us, because you are a merciful God who loves his people, and we are your people. We are your children, Father God. May we hear your words this morning, Father God. May you open our hearts, our minds. May we be challenged. May we walk away this morning a little deeper in understanding our relationship with you and what you mean to us. Amen. Well, I got a little something for you this morning. This is for the adult class downstairs. Something to kind of help Joe understand when some of the participants might need to be moving on to the seniors class. So, you know it's time to join your church's seniors group when you try to straighten out the wrinkles in your socks, then you realize you aren't wearing socks. Even when you stay home, your back goes out. It takes twice as long to look half as good for Sunday service. Most of the names of your Facebook friends start with doctor. It takes you longer to rest up than it did to get tired. The only birthday gift you want from your fellow parishioners is not to be reminded of your age. At the breakfast table, you hear lots of snap, crackle, and pop, but you aren't eating cereal. You sit in a rocking chair, but you can't get it started. Your idea of weightlifting is standing up after a long sermon. Your pastor regularly compliments you on your patience, but you know that you probably just weren't paying attention. As I was walking up this morning, somebody said that I looked like a preacher today. Must be because I'm wearing my coat, so I guess that means I need to preach. I was just going to talk and tell jokes all morning, but somebody persuaded me, so I guess we'll get into the Bible this morning. We're going to start out in Philippians chapter 3 this morning. I heard a term that I want to try to use this morning and see if anybody catches on. What was prot last week? If I'm going to preach this week, then last week I had prot. Did anybody get that? Preach, prot, no, just past tense. The past tense of preach must be prot, right? Does anybody remember what was prot last week? Thank you, Brianne. I couldn't quite figure out the definition myself. Okay. We've been talking about being led by God, right? Recognizing God's words. Thank you, Charlene. I think tulips. Who remembers tulip mania? How crazy that was. Absolutely true. Last week we talked about recognizing God's worth, and to be led by God means to recognize his worth. You will always follow what holds the most value to you. If your job holds more value to God, you will follow your job. If money holds more value to you than God, you will seek after money. No matter what it is, you will seek after it if it's worth more than God. When it comes down, when the rubber meets the road, when that rich young man came to Jesus and recognized, hey, this is a guy worth following, didn't quite catch Christ's worth, and he went away sad, because what he had held more value than what Christ had. The more something else leads you, the less God can lead you. We looked at the pearl of great price. We read Paul's words in Philippians, I count it all as loss compared to what I have in Christ. Now, there's something that goes hand in hand with recognizing God's worth. Does anybody have any idea what it is? Probably not. When you recognize God's worth, you're faced with yours. When you recognize how awesome God is, when your heart is actually open to Jesus Christ and what he has done for you, you recognize your own worth. You recognize your helpless estate without him. Just as in Philippians 3, 7 through 11 show Paul's understanding of the greatness of Christ, they also show Paul's understanding of who he is without Christ, his worth apart from Christ. So I'm going to read Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. There is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more, circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider lost for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. So what Paul's saying here is the things that I thought I was, I now realize held no worth at all. My education, my position, my birthright, my Pharisaic zeal, and my faultless following of the law, I thought those things made me something great. They didn't. In verse 9, Paul says that he understands that the righteousness that he thought he had earned cannot come and did not come from the law, but from Christ alone. Last week, if the rich young man had truly recognized Christ's worth, he would have realized his own, finding that all the things that he had derived his worth from gave him no worth at all. Remember how we compared that to Christ held out this priceless pearl and the rich young man said, "Yeah, but look at all these tulip bulbs I have." If you missed last week that we talked about tulip mania, look at all these tulip bulbs I have, and Christ is saying those are worth nothing. But the young man didn't realize Christ's actual worth, and therefore he did not recognize that what he was placing his worth in really was worthless. Really was worthless. Last week, during open worship, Chuck reminded us of Peter. The man who was first to confess Jesus as the Messiah, the one whom Jesus called the rock on which he would build his church, and the gods of Hades could not overcome it. And I mean, he's the man who first confessed Jesus as Messiah besides John the Baptist. This is the who wasn't told this by God. Peter is the man who saw Christ walking on the waves and stepped out in faith to meet him. The man who did so many acts of faith that we read about in the book of Acts. The man whom Jesus commissioned to shepherd his flock, and yes, even the man who denied Christ three times. Simon Peter was a man who recognized Christ's worth. And not only that, but he showed that he recognized his own worth. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. We're going to read verses 5 through 11. The calling of the first disciples. It's very interesting. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." Okay, notice he says master. He's beginning to recognize some of Christ's value. Now John, if you read the different Gospels' accounts of calling the first disciples, you will learn that John the Baptist's disciples have already sought out Simon Peter to tell him about Jesus, that this is the Messiah, the one we've been waiting for. Simon Peter is in the boat. Jesus is preaching. He's listening to Jesus. He's beginning to recognize, okay, there's truth to this. There is truth to this. He calls him master. We've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but there's a little bit of trust here, he says, "But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Peter recognizes Jesus. When they catch those fish, this is probably the first time that Peter knows in his heart that this is the Messiah. He goes from calling Jesus Master to Lord. The rich young man was a master. He mastered many things. He came to Jesus as a master. A master and a master. He did not come to Jesus as Jesus being Lord. And so he went away, unwilling to give up his estate. Simon Peter has now recognized that this man is my Lord. Not just a master, but Lord. He recognizes who Jesus is, and immediately, Simon Peter is exposed because his heart is opened to who Christ really is. And his heart is now exposed, and he is completely aware of his sins. He had no problem being in the presence of Christ until in his heart he was exposed to Christ. And now he sees all of his sins and recognizes he is not worthy of being near Jesus. And what does he say? "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Peter got what that rich young man didn't. When we recognize God's worth, we're faced with our worth. Why? The big contrast. Jesus is the light, right? We're exposed. Your heart is open. It's raw. And all of a sudden, the light of the world is exposing your darkness. As long as our hearts are closed, we keep that concealed up inside of ourselves because then the light can't get in. But when your heart is truly open to Christ, not just recognizing who he is, but who he really is. Not just about Jesus, but recognizing who Jesus is to you, your darkness becomes exposed. Let's go to John chapter 3. This is not our first time looking here. John chapter 3, I'm going to read 16 through 21. We studied this a couple months back. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. But men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God." The verdict is that Jesus, the light of the world, the Word, as we read in John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word is Jesus through all things, through which all things were made. Jesus, the light of the world, has come into the world now, and that light exposes and destroys our darknesses. Peter's darkness became exposed when he saw Jesus for who he really was, because then his heart was open to who Peter really was. Peter had two choices. He had a choice to run and flee, or he had a choice to stay. His first instinct wasn't to turn and flee. I don't know exactly why. It could have been that he knew Jesus was Lord, and you don't run away from a king. You asked to be dismissed, and he said, "Go away from me, Lord." Or the second is that Peter really knew in his heart who Jesus was and that the Messiah would not turn away because the Messiah had come to save. So in his heart, he had hope that Jesus would not turn him away, even though he said, "Go away from me, Lord." If this is the Messiah, the one that John the Baptist's disciples had told me about. Even though he sees all my sins and I recognize all my sins now, maybe he won't turn me away. John chapter 3, verse 17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it." And Jesus' response to Simon's Peter's realization of his darkness was, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." So Peter and his partners left everything and followed Jesus. What about all those fish? What about their lives? Biggest score of their lives. You know they're going to be talking about that around the docks for a long time. They left everything and followed Jesus. When you truly recognize the worth of God, you become very aware of your darkness. And when you are aware of your helpless estate, God can do awesome things with you. Peter became aware of his helpless estate, and Jesus led him and taught him, built the church upon him, and brought his darkness into light, and did not turn him away. Paul was faced with his true worth when God met him on the road to Damascus and blinded him, and in the same way that he blinded him, he opened his eyes to see who he really was. And what everything he had placed his worth in gave him no worth at all. Questions this morning: are you willing to see what you are really worth outside of Christ? Not to know it in your mind, but to be convicted of it in your heart. That's a hard place to go. Because we know that we get our worth from God. We know it because the Bible says it. But it's different to know it and to be convicted of it. And when you are convicted of it, you will live like Peter. You will leave everything. When you are convicted of it, you will live like Paul. You will leave everything for wherever God wants to lead you. To see the real worth of Christ and see the real worth of ourselves outside of Him will transform your life. Plain and simple. Do you want your life to be transformed? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would give us the courage this week as we go to open our hearts up to the light of Christ that you have given, that we would not hide from it any longer. Not that we don't need to go back to it once we have, Father God, to continually be aware of who we are outside of Christ so that we can truly understand who we are inside of Christ and truly understand what you can do with us. Father God, you would transform our lives if we would just give you that pleasure. Give us the courage. Give those who will not truly open their hearts to your light the courage to open their hearts. In your name, amen.